You're listening to WBCALP 102.9 FM, Boston, Boston's community radio station.
Hello, hello. You're listening to Never Give Up, where giving up is not an option. I'm your host, Rochelle Jones. Well, regardless of the temperature or the weather outside, amen, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Greetings. It's so good to be with you this evening. I know right now this broadcast is in Boston. It's Boston's community radio station. And the weather has been a little tricky, leaving lots of people with colds and flus. But so dress warm, you know, stay at an even temperature regardless of if the sun is out or it's windy or rainy, cold, and even snowing, you know. So, today we want to talk about is, you know, avoidance. You know, sometimes we avoid situations. You know, it seems easier, right, to just avoid something, avoid a person, avoiding forgiving, avoiding confrontation, you know, avoiding difficult conversations. So we want to kind of look at, you know, what the Bible says about it, and just have some thoughts around the table. And I wanted to start off with Titus 3:10. And it says, warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time after that, have nothing to do with them. And I read that, and I was like, wow. I kind of wish that I would listen to the word of God. I mean, that's it. Face value. Don't try to think, analyze. Don't try to fix it in your mind. It's like, look, people are showing you the fruit they're in. I can't throw you like a lifeline when you didn't even ask for it. I can't throw you a lifeline even though you're not even aware sometimes that this is who you are. This is what's coming from you. You know, this you're divisive, you're contentious, you're looking always for an argument or to be right. I don't want to be right. I just want to have peace, you know. But the Bible says, look, you warn somebody about, you know, how they're affecting you. You know, you warn them once, you warn them a second time. And then you might need to just cut it off for a moment. Cut it off until they can show you better, right? But some, you know, and so take it at face value. Are you continuing to try to fix somebody? Are you continuing to try to make a terrible situation better? It takes two people, right, to work out anything. You can't be the only one. It takes both walking in agreement in order for it to be successful, you know, whether it's a marriage, a co-worker relationship, child relationship. It's like, you know, we want to sit down at the table. We want to come up with a plan that's going to be a win-win for both of us. And then we want to work the plan. But what happens if the person you're talking to isn't doing their part? They're not working the plan. You know, there's always contention. There's always money missing. There's always something going on, right? So, you know, look, I warn you once. I warn you twice. The third time, I'm walking away. Wow. I might have to add that tool to my toolbox, you know. I'm the kind, I come from the mindset that I want to be at peace with all men if it's all possible, you know. But if it's not possible, it's okay to walk away. And Titus 3:10 kind of opens up our eyes a little bit, you know. Romans 16:17 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. I mean, the Bible is being as clear as it can be, right? Why do we find ourselves in these situations should be a question that we ask ourselves as we examine ourselves. Like, why do I always find myself with people who are just like throwing obstacles out there? I saw a meme where it was two people in the boat, and the person in the front of the boat was trying to, take out the water that was coming in, you know, and he just kept taking the bucket, throwing it out. Meanwhile, the person behind them was drilling holes in the boat. Like, you got to kind of know who's in the boat with you. I sure wish I had somebody on the line with me here today so that we could just have a talk around this situation. That a lot of times we think the people that are in us, in our corner, are cool. But you know what? It reminds me of wrestling when we were young and they were having these tag team partnerships. And they went, you know, they're getting all beat up in the ring and they go over to take their hand and the partner wouldn't hit it. Like, wow. It's like, this is supposed to be your turn to jump in and take some of these hits, at least, you know, bring us to a victory. But they wouldn't even go in the ring. So that means you're even more exhausted. And guess what? It's a hard way to learn a lesson. I want you to look at your relationships and friendships that you have and make sure that they're in your corner, that they're not drilling holes while you're trying to bail out the water, you know? The Bible tells us to watch out for those who always, you know, are putting obstacles in the way. So, especially obstacles that are contrary to what you've been taught in the Word of God. Like, some people are just outright rebellious about what it is, or they don't want to follow what God has said, right? They always have an argument, you know? The Bible, you know, no matter what the Word of God says, like, the trust in the Lord with all your heart, you know, like, either you're doing that or you're not. He said, lean not to your own understanding. Like, sometimes we won't understand it always, but he still says, walk in peace. He still says, you know, walk in joy. He still said, look, the fruit of the Spirit is these things. And that we have to walk in those things. We don't get to, you know, decide, well, you know, something else. And so we have to choose our friends well. We kind of have to know who's laboring among us, you know. Second John gives us a kind of a warning and by saying in verse 1 and 8, watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. You know, we've got to watch out, you know, for those things that we've worked so hard at. I worked hard to try to be joyful. Like, I'm not going to get saturated with your negativity to bring me down. I've worked too hard. I paid a cost. Like, I remember they used to teach us, like, when you pay a cost for the anointing, you know, I'm not going to let people trip me up. I've come to a point, I've cried too long. So if you don't see me crying now, believe me, I have cried tears. I've had difficulties and struggles. And I have basically, from them all, realized that, you know, God, he's in my corner. I mean, I don't always understand what's going on. And I get the fact that I'm responsible to work out my own salvation. Now, I was talking to a friend today and I was simply saying to her, like, look, we really don't have a lot of time to make careless decisions that are going to set us back. And when we say set back, it's simply saying, look, a lot of times the enemy can use anything against us, right? So don't leave no doors open. Don't leave no way. Look, if the Lord said that being negative and sarcastic and condescending probably aren't the characteristics. They're not the fruit of the Spirit. They're not the character of God, because he said there's now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. So why do we allow negative, condemning, selfish, harmful people to have into our earways, sucking us down and backwards? And sometimes they're clothed in Christianity. And so we've got to watch out. Basically, we got to watch out. The Bible tells us that there are false prophets, that there are people who are speaking the word of God, but have the wrong motives. They may have the wrong heart posture as well. And so we have to be aware of these things. You know, we've got to be aware of what's being taught, what's being said. And have you met anybody that sometimes can say the right things, but still don't mean well? They're kind of hard sometimes to pinpoint. But you can always tell in the end, wow, you know, they talk they're going to be there, but when you really need them there, they're not there. They say all the right things, but when you test them or put them to the test, they break apart. They're not consistent, faithful, strong. And I mean, God has shown us in so many ways and so many occasions that he's so faithful. I look at the nature itself shows the consistency and faithfulness of God. The sun doesn't skip a beat. It might be a cloudy day, but somewhere behind that cloud is the sun, or it would be dark. Right? The moon by night. Sometimes it's a full moon, a half moon, crescent. But the faithfulness of God, the seasons, winter, spring, summer, fall. If you're in an area that has those seasons, you see them manifest. What about the water and the ocean and the sand on the beach? We see God's consistency and faithfulness through nature. Seed, how a dead seed can bring an apple tree to life and one day bear fruit. And if he's able to do it through nature, and he's shown us his faithfulness, I am constantly reminding myself every chance I get that God is everywhere. He doesn't just come and go. He's there. Our ability to realize that sometimes comes and goes. But God is always there. It's like he's here with me now. He's walking with you. Wherever you're sitting, driving, wherever you're located, God is with you. So maybe if we really was conscious of that a little more, we'd watch what we say and watch what we do, because the greater one lives on the inside of us, right? I'm in the Father, the Father's in me, and I'm in you. So the next time you want to cuss or be negative or you want to tear someone down, remember that he's with you. He walks with me. He talks with me. He's there. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. That he just doesn't come when you need him, but he's always there. Can you imagine waiting for you to include, to speak, to talk? Like sometimes that's really real for me. And then there's times when I have to really be cognizant and deliberate about it. Deliberately sit in a chair for a moment and just say, okay, Lord. And begin to have that conversation needed. Like that's bringing it down. He's not the man upstairs. That's how we were raised to believe, that this God was looking down on us, ready to shake his finger at every wrong turn that we make. But nah, he's right there. And I know sometimes it's so hard to imagine. He's a present help. You can't come help and be a present help if you're not present, right? And so this God sent his only son that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And every day we're trying to receive him, include him, and make him a part of our daily lives. Not just on Sunday or Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever you have Bible study, but to be a part of our lives every moment, every second, every hour of the day. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he says that I am his own. It's making that relationship more personal. But here, when we do, every other relationship in our lives is transformed, because the one with the transforming power is in us, and we're acknowledging him. We're including him. We're saying, yes, Lord. Well, 1 Timothy 6:3 and 5 says, if anyone teaches otherwise, and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, and malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Godliness and holiness helps us to, you know, get through the day, get through this walk, get through this life. Yeah, I'm reminded of the song. It's like, holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want for me. Holiness. I remember they used to always say, it's holiness or hell. But holiness is the residue of honoring and obeying the word of God and the one who lives in us. You know? And making holiness a part of our life. Because he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the goal. And it's not doing it because, you know, we want something. Because remember, eternal life is a free gift. So you're not trying to be holy so that you can get to heaven. That's, we're saved. You have eternal life because you've believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're in the process of trying to work out our own salvation. And we're trying to get rid of unhealthy ways, right? Because we were raised unhealthy, spiritually unhealthy, right? With envy and strife and malicious talk, evil suspicions, constant friction between people, having a corrupt mind, you know. We want peace. We want a peaceful mind. We don't want to walk in a corrupt mind. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:15 through 17 that do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. First of all, you know, John is right up front saying, look, you're not only supposed to not love the world, but nothing in it. You know? And anyone loves the world does not have love for God. Right? Or Jesus Christ. For everything in the world, and he's saying, look, the world makes up these three things. The lust of the flesh, I mean, you're constantly trying to fulfill the flesh. The lust of the eyes, that's how the enemy can get in through the eyes, right? And the pride of life. Those three things come because we're not honoring God. We're not in the word. We're not changing. We're not allowing the process to be transformed. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How do we transform? By the renewing of the mind. And so we've got to renew that mind, because that mind is still corrupted with old thinking and old ways and traditions and how you were raised and what you've seen and what your eyes have taken in. So that's why. And you know, you try to raise your child up taking in the things of Christ and not the things from the world. But then when they interact with those around them who might not have been raised the same way, they begin to have interference, right? They begin to learn concepts that probably weren't taught in that environment that you were raising them up in. So now, you know, you're wondering, like, well, who's Rihanna? They were singing Beyonce song in school. And so now they're feeling like they've been deprived of something. But we have to train our children up to not love the things of this world. We're in this world, we're not of it. We're citizens of a new kingdom. And we get to manage how and what we put in our eyeways. What we're going to put in our children's eyeways, right? I heard it said that, you know, 10 minutes is all the screen time a toddler needs. But I noticed that sometimes, and I'm guilty, that when you want a minute, you may put that phone in their hand, but after an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, you got to decide when is enough for your child. Now they don't have a phone in their hand. They don't know what to do, and they're crying. Because they're crying, what do? You put the phone in their hand. And what is the phone? It's just setting them up to open up, to get used to having this technology in their hand. Soon they'll be on TikTok. Soon they'll be, you know, and we're finding faster ways of corrupting what God wants us to keep holy. God, he loved us so much. He's already shown us. And I'm paying a debt you can't pay. I'm giving my life for you. That's love. He so loved this world that he gave his only son. Why? He saw the world was corrupt. And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so God has sent his son. He's given us peace. He said, you know, in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give you as the world gives. So different. God's peace, the world's peace, totally different. You go about them so many different ways, right? Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So God's kind of peace is not going to lead us to be afraid, right? But going to lead us to be able, you know, to have joy, to be able to have rest, and to be able to sleep at night and not be so agitated, you know? Once again, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. Don't look to the world for advice, you know, but you've got to renew your mind to God's way of doing things, because only then will you be able to really test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, his perfect will. You know, these are all interesting things to keep in mind, you know, when we're talking about what God is wanting for us, you know, how he wants us to live, you know, and he definitely doesn't want us to avoid having victory, but avoid those who want to bring division and strife and contention and worry and fear to your life. Avoid them. Give them a warning once, twice. Then you might have to at least stand down. Maybe, just maybe, they'll say, hey, I want what you have. Hey, you've been listening to Never Give Up, where giving up is not an option. I'm your host, Rochelle Jones. I want you to remember that greatness is on the inside of you. Blessings.